Good morning, and thank you for listening. You're tuning into Inside Austin. I'm your host, Joseph Dane. And today is September 24th, which might just be any other Sunday for you listening out there. But today is actually National Punctuation Day. And here to talk with us about this great holiday, I have Jeff Rubin, the czar of National Punctuation Day and founder. How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Joseph.
Talk to us about National Punctuation Day. How exactly did you decide to come up with a holiday for proper grammar and punctuation?
Well, I established a holiday to save my marriage.
You've been using that one for a couple of years now.
Since the holiday started 2 years ago. I guess I need a new one. No, seriously, I'm an old print journalist, newspaper man, and I've had a newsletter publishing company for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, once you get ink in your blood, it's kind of like a disease, an affliction that you can't get rid of. And I'd sit at the table with a red marking pen, and I'd mark up the newspapers every day. And when I was done, it looked like I had bled all over it.
And so this spun you into making your way into journalism. And actually, I wanted to ask what your major was, because most of the grammar fanatics I encounter in my life are always English majors. So I was wondering if you were an English major.
Journalism and English. Most of the email I get is from retired English teachers.
So you've always been interested in proper grammar.
Always. I've always been interested in writing. I always did well in composition and book reports, things like that. I always did poorly in math and science. In fact, I think I flunked every math and science course I ever took. So I went where my heart took me, and that was with writing.
So you said you mark up papers, which is on the list of things to do for National Punctuation Day. Have you actually confronted any of the editors and said, look at all these mistakes I've compiled for a week? I'm just curious.
I don't show up at their office.
Well, no, an email.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic.
In fact, just last week, there was a headline in the San Francisco Chronicle. It said, true leaders are made of precious metal, M-E-T-A-L.
Oh, no.
So I circled it, and I wrote a little arrow, and I said, are these people bionic? And sent that off to the editor. You know, usually they don't respond. They see the return of the dress, and they say, oh, it's that guy again.
It's the National Punctuation Guy.
Yeah, we can't get rid of that guy.
Now, granted, there is room for mistakes. I think this holiday that you started was started for a reason, a very serious reason, because I, as well as many people, see the grammar errors in everyday walking by the signs, whatever we read. They're abundant these days.
Yes, they are. But I'll tell you what's more important, what's even worse than the fact that people can't punctuate and they can't spell, is the fact that they accept this. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, oh, I'm a bad speller, and it doesn't matter, you know what I meant.
Why does it matter anymore? I'm older.
It doesn't matter, but it does matter.
Sure.
You know, where's your pride?
Well, this is the standard guidelines that we know on how to, when we're reading something, how to emphasize and how to pause and how to stop. These are very important. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure you have plenty of research there that draws some correlation with the dawning of the computer age and emails the decline. How does that work out there?
Well, people generally are lazy in email. And, you know, me too.
Sure.
I make mistakes in email, and you know I hate it when it happens, but, you know...
The one place where we shouldn't, since it has the easy corrections there, but sure, yeah.
Exactly. You know, you type off a fast note to someone, there's a typo there, boom, you press it, and then just as you see it going through the email system, you know, you hit the stop button, and it's too late, and it's gone.
Yeah.
It happens. You know, you try not to make the same mistakes over and over and over again. Email is generally sloppy. Text messaging is even worse. Text
mm-hmm.
messaging has just eliminated vowels. And so, you know, kids grow up doing this and think this is the way that people communicate.
Forgetting to differentiate when they're writing their term paper.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not the way people communicate. And when you grow up and you get out into the business world, this can really hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
There was a case, it was in August in Canada. It was in the Toronto Globe and Mail, the newspaper up there. There's a company that hired another company to string its cable lines throughout the Maritime provinces. And they signed what they thought was a five-year contract for, I believe it was $9.60 per pole. Well, the company that was doing the work raised their rates after 1 or 2 years, I forget how many years, and they were taken to court. Well, the contract, the way it was written, there was a misplaced comma in the part of the contract that talks about when it can come up for renegotiation. And the company thought that it was not until after 5 years. But because of this comma, it said that they could renew after every year of a five-year contract. Well, they raised their rates to $28 a pole from $9.60 at $2.13 million for a misplaced comma. They were taken to court, and the judge sided with the people who were doing the work, and they said, hey, doesn't matter what you meant, this is what's in the contract.
That's the most expensive comma I've ever heard.
It's just outlandish, and I'll tell you, when I was just getting started in journalism in the early 70s, I was working at a paper in Connecticut, and I wanted to work in New York Newsday, a big paper in New York. The publisher of that paper lived in Connecticut, and I sent him a letter, and I misspelled his name. And he wrote back and said, you'll never work at Newsday. And I never did.
Wow.
Yeah, that'll shake you up.
Now let's talk about National Punctuation Day and what you are celebrating with the third annual National Punctuation Day, because you have a new tool.
I have a new tool. It's called Punctuation Playtime. And this is a program that my wife and I have developed, and we're premiering it this year. In fact, we've got some programs booked next week. It's a performance program. We're not going to stand in front of a blackboard and teach kids about punctuation. We're going to have lots of fun. We've got lots of activities. It's geared to kids grades 1, 2, and 3. And we are going to introduce the concept of punctuation to them. But we're going to do it in a fun way. Lots of activities. For example, we've got pin the apostrophe on the sentence. And we do this with flashcards and push pins. So we have a whole pile of flashcards in the middle of a room, and we clear out the room. There's no tables, no chairs, because we need a lot of room because the kids are going to be moving around. And so they have to punctuate. We have sentences that deliberately there's no punctuation. And so we'll leave a space where the punctuation should go. It's up to them to pick out the right punctuation mark and take it up to the sign and stick a push pin in it. And then we have a relay tag where my wife and I and the teacher, we're at one end of the room, and if you can picture at the other end, three lines of children. The first person in each line, they run down to us. We flip up a flashcard. It's got a punctuation mark on it. They have to tell us which one it is.
Okay.
They get it right. They run back to the other end. They tag the next person. Next person comes up, same thing, until they get through the entire line, and then the winning team gets a prize.
That's exercise and learning right there.
Exactly. And we've got a bunch of other exercises, too. We're going to read them a poem called Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod, which is a wonderful poem. Actually, it was made into a movie in the 30s.
Okay.
And it's a fantasy about a child who sails away into the stars on a wooden boat, which is actually his bed. He's dreaming. And so we're going to read the poem to them and then have a little discussion. And then we're going to punctuate the first verse. So we have flashcards that say winkin', blinkin', and nod, and we will ask them where the correct punctuation marks go. And again, the children will be asked to pick a punctuation mark from a whole pile in the middle of the room and come up and stand between us. And so the line of children will snake all the way around the room until we finish punctuating the first verse. And we have a rap song, the punctuation rap.
That should be a fun one.
I think it's going to be a hit. And I had some junior high school kids record it a few weeks ago.
Oh, really? Great.
So we're going to play that as our introduction, and then we're going to give the lyrics to the kids, and the kids are going to do it with us. You know, my hope in 45 minutes to an hour is to introduce punctuation, make them see not so much that it's important, but where it goes and how it helps them in understanding what they're reading.
Sure.
And I think as they go through their school years, if they're aware of punctuation, I think it will help them understand more what they're reading.
You know, at that age, they aren't thinking so much about their future and their careers, but we all know that kids learn by having fun.
Yeah.
And this sounds very fun, and, you know, fact being that learning grammar at a young age is going to help them down the road. And I'm going to quote from your literature here, statistics show students who read will do better in school, get better jobs, earn more money, you know.
And it's all true.
Very true.
And I started reading when I was very young, and I did well in classes that involved comprehension and language and writing and communication. things like that. The grammar, the punctuation, the spelling, you know, you put them all together and you're looking at a literate child. And heaven knows we could use more literacy in our young people.
This is for sure. Now, this sounds very interactive. At first, when I read this, I was thinking it was more of a computer game, but this sounds very social and very interactive among the peers.
Yeah, it is. The whole idea is to make it fun.
Well, that's terrific, because with computers, another thing that we could definitely use with our young ones is more social skills.
Yes, very true. So we're going to record this program, by the way, and we're going to offer it to school districts throughout the United States. It's going to be part of a package called Punctuation Playtime in a Box.
Terrific.
We're also going to leave the students and the teachers with a lot of support materials. The kids are going to get a 24-page handout that will have a series of punctuation-related exercises that they can do at home, either by themselves or with their parents. And we're also going to provide the teachers with about 20 punctuation exercises, lesson plans that they can use anytime during the school year. You know, if they have an extra 15 or 20 minutes of class time, they want to throw in a punctuation exercise, they'll have it.
Well, this sounds like a great package. And this is available not only to elementary schools. People can jump on the www.nationalpunctuationday.com and purchase the Punctuation Playtime kit for themselves too, correct?
Yeah, and we are recording the program next Friday. And so I hope that by the end of October, it will be up on my website. And yes, they'll be able to purchase the entire program. And then, you know, this way, school districts don't have to bring me in to do the program.
Absolutely.
They're going to get the whole program, all 45 minutes to an hour of it, plus all of the support materials, plus the 4 12x19 full-color posters that we've done, which are absolutely spectacular. And those are on the website right now.
Okay.
And they're going to get those too, so they can hang those posters in the classroom, and they can do a lesson just around those posters. I had a professional illustrator design those, and those are featured on bookmarks that kids are going to get and T-shirts. The posters themselves have an illustration of Punctuation Man on them, and they highlight each punctuation mark. We have 13 main punctuation marks on the 4 posters, and we explain what each punctuation mark means in children's terms, not in adult terms. I mean, we don't tell the kids that you use a semicolon to separate independent clauses, because they're not going to know what that is. And then we give some examples of correct usage of each punctuation mark. So they're really gorgeous posters. That goes to the teachers as well.
Great. Well, this sounds like a very fun program, very interactive, exactly what it takes to help kids learn. I'm going to throw the website out there again. It's www.nationalpunctuationday.com. In addition to finding the Punctuation Playtime on there very soon, there are resources and links and just general information to really help yourself out, your kids out, yourself if you're a teacher out. So.
Yeah, and for adults too.
Absolutely. You know? Again, I just want to say it's National Punctuation Day, and there are a couple tips how to celebrate. Walk around, look at signs, go tell the people if they're incorrect.
Right.
That's
you want to be careful with that one, though.
Well, exactly. One of which I saw on the website. You have pictures up of signs that are incorrect, and you have Church's Chicken, and you know, I've always thought that same thing.
Doesn't that bother you?
It always has.
Now, Wendy's, for example, the hamburger place?
Uh-huh.
W-E-N-D-Y apostrophe S.
Precisely?
Yes.
They can get it right. Why can't churches? And they've never bothered to correct it. But,
no.
Oh, well, we won't go there. But
yeah, I know. And you see that all the time. I just took a picture yesterday. Michael's, it's an art supply store.
Sure.
And they bill themselves as the world's largest custom framer.
Uh-huh.
W-O-R-L-D-S. So I'm going to put that on the website with a caption that says, they are not only this world's largest custom framer, but other worlds too, except Pluto.
That is great. It's amazing what you can actually see out in the public when you really have your eye open for this.
I know, and I invite people to take photographs and send them to me.
Sure, because you will post them.
I will post them. There's one woman in New York who sent me about a half a dozen photographs. She's a freelance writer, and she said she has her camera with her wherever she goes. But you know, the funniest one I got was from a guy who works at a NASA facility in Virginia, and he sent me a photograph of a sign on the NASA property that has incorrect punctuation.
Oh, no.
And he says to me, the joke here is that there are rocket scientists who work here.
Fantastic. Well, my ending question, which you kind of beat me to the punch, was next year for the 4th annual National Punctuation Day, can we expect a version for the adults? Because we need them.
You can expect a book.
Okay, great, great.
I am writing a book.
Terrific. Well, I know you have some good recommendations for books as well, which are on your website. So.
Yes, yes. You know, the resources are there.
They are there.
Yes.
It's just a matter of taking the time and putting yourself down for a second to practice, to study. National Punctuation Day is today. Celebrate it. And, Jeff, thank you for speaking with us. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, Joseph. Thank you.